When I was in seminary for the Archdiocese and minor seminary studying philosophy, it became clear that it was possible for me to graduate a year early from college, thanks be to God, to our wonderful Catholic schools here in Cedar Rapids, through which I'd gotten some college credits and AP classes and things like that. And the seminary had to figure out what to do with me. The one thing they didn't want to do was send me ahead early and ordain me early, because they'd have to fill out paperwork with the Vatican and documents, and that's a pain. So they said, that's off the table. So they gave me three options. They said, you can do a spirituality year, you can go do some service work down in, maybe in Texas, work on your Spanish, or you can do a pastoral year in a parish here in the Archdiocese. And I said, after some prayer, I'd really like a spirituality year. I think that sounds great, to spend a year detaching from social media and technology and praying and all that good stuff. And they looked into it and came back and said, yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay? Well, if that's off the table, that service year sounds good. I get to help people. I would work on my Spanish. Everything would be good. And they looked into that and said, yeah, that's not going to happen either. You're doing a pastoral year here in the Archdiocese. I'm like, okay. Well, I know I'll be going off to major seminary next year, so we're using two right now, I said. One is in the United States and the other's in Rome. And I said, if it looks like I'm going to stay stateside, please let me know. I just graduated from college. I have a little money. I need to buy a car. And they said, oh, yes, definitely plan on that. Then in January, I get a phone call. Archbishop Hannes would like you to go meet with the director of the admissions for the North American College in Rome. I'm like, are you kidding me? Everything I've asked for, all of these plans, everything you've told me is now just thrown out the window, and I've got to sell my car and move and all of these other things. And I was frustrated. But looking back on it, that was what God had in mind for me. I wouldn't be the priest I am today. I wouldn't have the skills and experiences I do to be able to do my job as a priest, and probably wouldn't be as obedient as I try to be now if I hadn't gone through that. We all like to control and have plans and figure out how things are going to go. But God has other ones for us so often. How many of us have the job figured out? This is my dream home. I'm going to work for this long. I'm going to go into retirement and play golf every day. And we got our whole life planned out for maybe 50 years. I don't think for any person I've talked to, it ever turns out that way. God has different plans in store for us. And the question is, how do we respond? Today in our gospel, Joseph's plans have a big wrench thrown in them. I'm going to marry this woman. We're going to live out our lives together. We're going to have a family. It's going to be great. This is wonderful. He's looking forward to it all. And all of a sudden, Mary is found to be pregnant with child. And he's like, what do I do now? I don't know what to do. I can only see two roads ahead. One is to shame her, which I don't want to do. I love this woman. And the other one is to abandon her, to divorce her quietly, which doesn't take away the shame. It just places it on himself. Because then it looks like he's the one that impregnated her before they were wed and abandoned her and runs away. But God shows him a third way. He says, Joseph, roll with it. Take Mary into your home. Don't be afraid. This is what I have in store for you. And Joseph, being a saint where I was not, did not complain. He woke up and did as God commanded him to do. And thanks be to God, he did. How often is a wrench thrown in our plans, and do we respond with the humility and grace of Saint Joseph? All too often in little things, we get bent out of shape about something which really, in the big scheme of things, isn't a big deal, but that's the situation God has placed in front of us. And we need to respond with that same humility and grace that he does. But for most of us, I think, we have a harder job of it. First of all, I don't know about you, but I don't have angels coming to tell me what to do in my dreams all the time. Wouldn't that be nice? Be a heck of a lot easier if an angel appeared and said, this is what you're supposed to do. But we have to discern. We have to pray. We have to spend time with the Lord saying, this is the situation before me. What is your will in this? And a lot of times that means fighting our own emotions. I'm angry. I don't want to do this. And we might rule out an option that God really is calling us to just because of our own feelings. Or it puts me at risk. There's danger here. Somebody might hurt me if I do what God wants me to do, whether it's they might reject me emotionally or whatever, I might lose money or whatever it might be. And we try and push that away. But we need to stay with those things in prayer. Take them to the Scriptures and say, what does God teach about this? What is your will for me in this, Lord? And then to have the courage to do it humbly and graciously without complaining. There's a wonderful spiritual book I like called Abandonment to Divine Providence, which talks about those little interruptions in our life that we think of as pests and nuisances and everything else, but those little interruptions are often where God is calling us to holiness. If I'm resistant to loving in this situation, why is that? Maybe it's because I need to grow here. I need to learn to love when people are difficult. I need to learn to sacrifice my plans for the good of others. And especially at this time of year, how many of us have been working on our Christmas plans for over a month now? We've got all the presents, the food's lined up, we know where we're traveling, but this is Iowa, so that's not going to happen because something is going to go wrong. And we get bent out of shape just about the holidays. But what are those opportunities in that to learn to love? To be with those family members who we might find difficult or annoying at times, and still to be generous to them. To perhaps sacrifice our plans because someone needs us. Maybe a loved one is sick or something like that, and we can't go travel the way we would like or go see other people because we're caring for another person. These little ways where God invites us to do His plan and not our own are the ways that we grow in holiness. And of course, as we're in Advent preparing for the coming of Christ, if we have planned out how Christ will come again, I guarantee you we're wrong. He's going to surprise you. He surprised everyone the first time. From Mary to John the Baptist to Joseph and all the people who were expecting something different in the Messiah. A political leader from the house of David who would establish a kingdom. And he did, but not the way they thought. We need to learn, like Joseph, to roll with the punches, to accept God's plan and not our own, to be humble enough to say, this isn't what I wanted, but it's good. This is what God wants. And that is so much more important. As we prepare to welcome Christ again, let us prepare ourselves to be surprised by the Lord, to put aside our plans and desires, and like Joseph, to sacrifice in love for others. His plans were thrown off, but he responded to God's call to bring Mary and our Lord into his home, to protect them, to flee to Egypt when it was required, to work to provide for them, all of these things he didn't expect. And we reap the benefits throughout the ages because he did what he did. God's will was done. May we be humble enough to let the Lord work in us as well, to put aside our plans and to accept his instead. As we pray every time we pray the Our Father, thy will be done. You're the one in heaven, Lord, not me. Your will be done.